We're talking price hikes, inflation reaching its highest levels in what, 13, 14 years, rocketing food and fuel prices. And yesterday, of course, we heard yet another interest rate hike, adding thousands to home loan and other debt repayments. What is the way forward for South Africa? We're joined by the Standard Bank CEO, Standard Bank South Africa CEO, Lungisa Fuzile. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Good morning.
Good morning, Ngongani.
When last we spoke, we were talking about our recovery following the pandemic. You said hard and tough decisions needed to be made. But looking at what has happened since then, it would feel for many South Africans things have gone from bad to worse.
Things have become quite tough, Bongani. You are absolutely right. Occasioned in the first instance, I would like to start by some domestic idiosyncratic factors that aren't working well in our own economy. We can talk about some of those in detail just now. But of course, also occasioned by the disruption in what was a strong recovery coming out of the pandemic, that is the war in Ukraine, which disrupted supplies, which has driven up inflation, which was on the rise even before that, and of course necessitated that correctly central banks, including our own, must tighten monetary policy quite aggressively. And as our own inimitable governor yesterday did point out, it's that tightening is now beginning to be restrictive.
You talk about domestic idiosyncratic factors. Spell it out. What do you mean?
To start with, Bongani, when we spoke last time, we talked about the need to put the foot hard on the accelerator pedal insofar as implementing the reforms that were necessary. In detail, amongst them, we may have referred, I don't recall now, to the need to move with real speed to fix the energy situation, to overcome the energy constraint. Now, if you just pause and think about it, if we had started then, to open up the energy generation sector to the private sector to the extent that it has been opened up now, we would be receiving energy from some of the projects that would have been launched then. And now we did it, but did it with a lag or later, it will only begin to have the positive impact that we need. In other words, add to the energy generation capacity much later. I'm referring here specifically, Bongani, to the lifting of the rather restrictive approval processes that were required previously for embedded generation projects, which was celebrated, which, of course, the private sector has taken with such alacrity and is beginning to invest in those projects, and we can see the pipeline in our own business. In a couple of years' time, we will begin to benefit from that change. That's just one example. One thing that has become worse since then is logistics. We all know we have had the mining sector complaining that its ability to get to the ports what they are extracting from the bowels of the earth has been constrained. They are being forced, some of them, to use road transport, which is inefficient, but not all of them have got that ability.
Nor the money, right? Nor the money for that. I mean, we're talking not just mining, we're talking chicken producers, we're talking furniture makers, the automotive industry, and the list is endless. And now, of course, we know that that railway infrastructure is being targeted by vandals, and we know the key corridors they are targeting, and yet we're not reacting fast enough to that kind of thing. It's a Transnet problem, but it's also a country security problem.
Just on that note, Bongani, before you and I cause people to slit their wrists by telling them about their reality, and I don't want to sound like I have my head in the clouds here, disconnected from the reality, but what I still find to be taking me to that characterization before before I joined you in the program, you're saying that I'm a class half full type guy. I draw some comfort, but not a lot of it. I want to be clear about this. From the fact that we are now really between ourselves, business, across the board, and government, having the right conversation at the right level. I just hope that we will not...
Give us an example. What do you mean? We keep hearing how there's growing distance between business and this government. There are people who will even say that this government is now displaying open hostility towards business. And increasingly, we're hearing business leaders speak out about the dearth of leadership in South Africa. What conversations are you party to that we don't know?
Bongani, we are talking to government at the highest level. I mean, the president and his ministers and some of the top administrators in government are talking to us. Not only talking, we have set up practical structures to ensure that we are moving forward to execute on the recovery program.
Give me one key decision that you are referring to.
An example, Bongani, people don't know enough of this. Part of the reforms in the energy sector that were announced initially by the president, followed by Mr. Matashe, and subsequently supported through fiscal support from Minister Kodongwana in his last budget, speech, in fact, medium-term budget speech, and ultimately the budget, insofar as the energy sector is concerned, are part of what we discussed with government. Let me elaborate them. I've referred already to the change in regulations that are enabling the private sector to invest in generation in a big way.
But you've also mentioned the fact that those decisions are going to reap benefits for us, you know, at least not for some time. I mean, that we all understand well enough. I'm also saying to you, we've got clear and present threats to our economy, and it just feels to me that it takes so long. You mentioned the energy situation and the delays to even get to the decisions that you now say have been taken. This logistics issue, there are many issues that make Transnet face challenges, but some of them could be arrested like that if decisions were being made in the way they ought to be.
I agree fully with you. In fact, we have to deal with the crime, safety and security issue. We have to deal with it very decisively, Bongani. It is becoming a cancer. And it is the responsibility of the state to protect its citizens, to protect property, and to ensure that people can go about their businesses, big and small, without fear that on my way to work, on my way to the bank, or when doing whatever, engaging in whatever activity, I might be attacked. But that is one of the three priorities that we're discussing with government. It requires more the state than anyone else. It is the state that has got the resources, that has got the legitimacy, that has the constitutional obligation to protect its citizens. But if I may finish, I mean, the energy issue, we are really dealing with it. But I will tell you, as I have said, at the risk of repeating myself too much now, that we took long to get where we are. But of course, we are where we are now. We have got two choices. We can analyze the problem and analyze it until the cows come home, proverbially. Or alternatively, we can say, given that we have had failures in the past, let us now recover and recover very strongly. And I'm convinced that with the collaboration between government and the private sector, working with the capacity that the private sector has supported in the presidency, under Operation Vulindlela, which is delivering. I mean, I'm impressed, Bongani, the speed with which the Department, for instance, of Environmental Affairs processes the environmental impact application is considerable, has improved a hell of a lot. Now, if it had improved 5 years earlier, we would be reaping the benefits now, even 3 years earlier. But of course, it took too long. But now it is beginning to show signs that we are grappling with the problem appropriately, I would say.
Is there still the goodwill, though? We're often told the private sector is sitting on its billions and not investing. If you look at what's happening around interest rates, for example, we've mentioned energy, but unemployment, there's the issue of grey listing. All of them, I can give you specific examples where commentators, people have been warning for different decisions to be made. And eventually, once the horse bolts, we spring into action. But often it's precious little too late.
There is some goodwill still remaining. Note, I'm not just saying there's goodwill. There is some goodwill still remaining. But Rogani, sometimes we are our own enemies. I've largely heard politicians talking about the notion of an investment strike and so on. It's totally uncalled for. Forgive me for being blunt on this. People don't invest. Investing is not an emotional issue. I don't wake up, or business people don't wake up and they just have this feeling in their heart emotionally that I must just put money into this because there might be some luck that it might yield some return. The money that gets invested, whether by the PIC, which is pensioners' money, fund managers the world over, belongs to other people who have saved some money so that if they live very long and their own children and their children's children will have wealth passed from one generation to another. They look for that to be preserved in the first instance and grown in the second instance. So if you don't calibrate policies such that you promise delivering higher returns into the future as a country now, you cannot expect investment to flow in your direction because you are competing with other jurisdictions which offer higher returns.
Yep.
So we've got to get that right. We've got to get that right. Now, we still have a lot of things going for us. You know, we are in a great neighborhood in the continent. We offer some of the best infrastructure, even if it's broken in part. We have got great regulators here. We have got a legal system that is working, that shows independence, and therefore people can sort out disputes in contract. We are on a continent that is grappling with issues of regional integration. Think about the Africa Free Trade
Agreement. Yeah.
Exactly, Bongani. And we are in a continent that grows relatively faster, even if it's off a lower base compared to the world. So as a consequence of that, we are offering better returns. Yes, of course, there is a higher risk here. And our population is very young. So we are on the cusp, I would say, of the so-called democratic dividend. So we still have a lot going for us. But of course, we've got to harness this thing. Because the world is not waiting for us as a continent now, but also our country specifically, to sort of wake up and catch up. We've got to really get on with the tough work of executing reforms, executing them very fast. And of course, we also have to make sure that we clear the air on the political noise, you know, give clear answers if we are asked whether we've sold arms to Russia or not. If we haven't, we should say no. If we have, we should say yes and explain why we thought it was sensible to do it.
Because part of the difficulty, Lugisa Fuzile, might be that we simply don't know. I appreciate your time. South Africa, or Standard Bank South Africa CEO, describing a country that's familiar to you? Is that how you experience South Africa with the optimism that he has just expressed there, with high youth unemployment, with rising interest rates, rising food and fuel prices, with the energy challenges, the logistics problems we've highlighted, crime not being prosecuted, those who are highly connected, who are senior in government and in politics, seemingly getting away with it? Do you share Lungisa Fuzile's sentiments about South Africa?